Thank you so much and that team for putting that together and really put the slideshow together to help just kind of capture a few words, a few pictures of moments for me. And that as I put slideshows together, I probably wouldn't have shown so many pictures of planes and that idea because I've flown so much in my life. But in this team, that was a pretty big moment for us, right? And that Ella, that was a huge moment, right? Now, Ella, you'll hop on a plane again, right? Yeah? And that Dave Adams, will you get on a plane again?
Absolutely.
Right? Now, I mean, that seems like a small thing, doesn't it? It seems like a small thing, but yet these are two huge things what God did for them. They went to give, but yet God poured into them and set them free of the fear that they had of flying. And so in that part is a huge thank you to them. At this time, Pastor Nathan, do you want to stay? There's only a few more minutes left. You might as well stay. And that, but in that part is again, when we serve the Lord, and this is why I really strongly encourage, find your place. Don't ever put it in park. Heaven forbid, please don't. But don't be deceived that if you put it in neutral, it's almost the same thing as park. God's got a plan for you. That's why you're still breathing. And sometimes we're not hearing God. We're not seeing God. We're like, oh, God's not really on the move. He's not doing anything. It's really not that God's not on the move. It's we're not on the move. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying everyone's got to be Martha and run until we're all dropping dead. No. I'm not saying any of that. But ask the Lord, what does he have for you? Jesus said, and then he says, I didn't come into this world to be served, but I came to serve. Right? So you're not meant to be like me. Heaven forbid. We don't need any more Phils running away, running around. And that, but then we're not to be like the person next to us. Be the unique you. This coming fall, I'm going to run again. And that what I ran last year on, it was called Kazon. The Bible says people perish for lack of vision, right? Or lack of knowledge. You know that scripture we quote all the time? Well, that word kazon, or word vision, sorry, in the Hebrew is the word kazon. And so by looking at your past experiences that so many of us want to rub underneath the carpet because heaven forbid anyone knows that we did that or that happened to us, or they hurt so much that we just kind of put them under the carpet. We think they're going to go away, but we keep tripping over them with a lie from the enemy or whatever. God wants to redeem those. Amen? He wants to redeem them. And that those moments that we carry with regret and shame and all of that, oh my goodness, don't let the enemy play that over like a fiddle around you every time you go through a moment. God wants to redeem that so when you look back, you can be free. Amen? And that when you look back, you can be free. And so within a walk through how God was going to help you redeem those things as we look at our past experiences, we look at the gifts of God because the Bible says everyone has a gift. Everyone here. Everyone has a gift. Whether you're here today and you're saved or you're not saved, there's a gift that's planted inside of you. Everyone has a gift. And we see the psychics walking in the gift, the word of knowledge and wisdom. It's just being fueled by something else, right? But in that part is God says that he's put gifts inside of us. He's uniquely formed and knit us in our mother's womb. He just wants us to come alive in him. That's why he talks about that born-again experience, that no longer we're born of just the flesh, but now we're born of the Spirit. We're become alive in him, that we can hear him, we can see him. If you're here today and you're a believer, that you believe in Jesus, you've given your heart to him, then God, in that rebirth that he's given inside of you, you now can hear his voice, and you can recognize it. I know some people, they say, oh, Pastor, that's not true because I haven't heard his voice for a while. Oh, yes, you can. We want to help you with that. And that's where Tony and I are working hard to help you hear God's call and his work in your life and so you can hear his voice and move with him. Oh, God's got a bright future. He says, I'm building my church, which means he's building your life, that the gates of hell will never prevail against you. So no matter how bad it looks right now in your life or in the circumstances around you, just remember, and that your knight, your captain of hosts, Jesus, he's got He's got a hold of that battle. And in his mind and in front of him, it's already won. We just got to understand that he's got it so that we don't end up picking it up and end up spinning our wheels chasing. Let me just share one or two thoughts here. I got 5 minutes left. And that what we should do about missions. And that we're just talking a little bit coming off of our missions trip, and that we are looking to not only do another missions trip elsewhere, Dominican Republic is the next one that is talking right now, and that, but how do we get out of our four walls? Because in all honesty, leaving here today, we are all missionaries. And when we leave here today and we walk out of these doors, that's the mission field. We gather together to give praises to our God, to celebrate together, to hear from him, to be re-energized, re-encouraged, and supported so that we can go back out to the mission field. We can just love on everyone around us, whether it be your family. If you're here today and maybe some of your family aren't saved and it's not always easy on you, or whether you're here today and at work and that you got lots of people and lots of pressures and regulations around you, don't worry about it. Greater is he that is in you. But know that God is wanting to pour into you as you come into Rockcliffe so you can be encouraged to, as you head out of these doors, you can be that light and shine bright for him. As churches, we need to pray confidently to spread the gospel. And Matthew 24:14 says, the gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. I don't know about you, and that, but how many think it would be pretty cool in that to hear the trumpet in the sky and Jesus part the skies and say, hey, come on home? Right? Wouldn't that be pretty cool and pretty awesome? But yet on the other side, as much as I get excited about that, it's kind of like a funeral. It's that bittersweet, right, Bruce? It's sweet because we know where Norma is, because the Word of God has encouraged us and lifts us. You know, and she loved God, and she loved you, and she loved her family. And so it's sweet in that, but it's bitter because she's there, and we're still here right now. And we'll wait, you know, and in that part is sometimes we can get stuck, and the enemy gets us stuck into this waiting period. Well, I'm just going to wait. And we miss out that there's things for us here that God still wants to, and it pays honor. But it's that bittersweet. It's the same thing. I'm excited for Jesus to return. And I can't wait for it. And that's where my focus is. But yet, when I stop and think about it, my heart breaks and aches as I walk around Owen Sound. We still have lots of people that are hurting and broken. And they have no one to turn to. Oh, they run to this, they run to that, they go this way, that way. But yet, you know, in there, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world? What does it profit someone in that to get medically healed or this or that or whatever, but lose their soul? And you see, this is real stuff. And God says that you and I can hasten the day of Christ's return. And that as the Spirit and the bride say yes. As we go out to the highways and byways and we share Christ with everyone. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not talking about going and taking pickets, and I'm not going and talking about forcing anyone or taking the Bible and you know, as they used to call us, Bible thumpers and all sorts of stuff. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about people that love Jesus so much and that are filled with Holy Spirit that wherever they go, they just leak over everyone, love and grace and mercy. And the Bible says, after all of that, he says, and that then use words. Then use words. That people would see Christ so much in you and me, and we have that ability to hasten that moment. Not only do we need to pray confidently, Jesus, you know, would you give us the words? Would you give us, who do you want me to touch this week? Who do you want me to share with? When I leave here in the next few moments, God, what is the mission you have for me? Not just a mission to make money and do our stuff and count our bills and pay our bill and do the due diligence of all life that we need to do. That's why when we retire, we're just retiring from all the weight the world puts on us. The nooses and all the stuff of having to go to work, wake up at this, do that, or whatever, so that we can be more free to do whatever our daddy says. Less conflicted, less held back, but now we're more free to do whatever he has for us. Not only that, but then as churches and as individuals, we need to give more sacrificially. And that the Bible, statistics tell us that for every $100 a Christian in North America makes, the average that is given towards missions is 5 cents. And yet, that's what we're called to. And I'm not talking missions, just hop a plane and fly somewhere. I'm talking about even leaving the doors. And that heart inside of us to realize that we're coming together to celebrate, to join, but on purpose to get out. And God's put an urgency in my heart. I've got like 4 months. I shared it with the board, and right away they say, are you leaving in 4 months? I'm not leaving. But I have 4 months God's put in my heart with an urgency inside to get us ready. Because come January, we are going to become the community church that God has called us to be. And we're going to reach and we're going to step out, but I can't do it on my own. A few people can't do it. We need everyone. As God starts to bring people in and that, and they need discipled, God brings people in or opportunity for us to go love and serve. We need everyone on board. So I really encourage you, and that this fall, ask the questions you need to ask. Dig in where you need to dig in. Come and get the help that you need. Come to Kazone when we go do that. Whatever you need to do to get yourself ready as we come into that place that we need to learn, we need to give sacrificially, not just finances, but of our lives. And that if we want to see all that God has in store. Psalm 67, and that reads this way. It says, may God be gracious to us and bless us. And make his face shine upon us. Can I get an amen? Amen? That your ways may be known on the earth, your salvation among the nations. So let me just pause for a moment. Let me come to the New Testament scripture of why we have the word shine. In Matthew, it says, let your light shine before men so they will see your good deeds and what? Glorify the Lord. So let me come back into Psalm 67 and say it again. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us. Amen. Why? That your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you rule the peoples justly and guide the nations of the earth. May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. Then the land will yield its harvest. And God, our God, will bless us. God has blessed us and all the ends of the earth, and that will fear him. Listen to me. All the blessing of God pouring upon us is not just finances. Amen? But how many people feel they're blessed? Like God's blessing us in many ways, is he not? Now, don't get me wrong. Is anyone against being blessed financially? I don't see any hands. I'm not against it either. But my God, he doesn't need currency. Amen? He can move mountains. He can wipe out debt. He can press delete on a computer. He can do whatever is needed. And he doesn't need your permission or mine. He's just God. Amen? But God's wanting to do a work in us. And he's calling us to this sacrificial part. That we would come into a place of shaking off heavy hands, lifting up holy hands, and giving him praise. And shouting from the mountaintop so everyone will taste and see that he is good. Francis Chan said in a book called Crazy Love, if you want to get stirred up, you can read that book called Crazy Love by Francis Chan. If you don't want to be stirred up, please don't read it. I'm just warning you. He says, do you know that nothing you do in life will ever matter unless it is about loving God and loving the people he made? Not only do we need to give sacrificially, we need to pray with confidence. But as churches and as people, we can't just send money. We need to go intentionally. We need to have short-term, we need to have mid-term and long-term missions abroad. We need to get out into our community. We need to reach into our work. We need to step out. There's no question that we see Timothy-type people and Paul-type people in the New Testament and also right here at Rockcliffe. You see, God calls the Timothy-type people to stay in the church among the reach and shepherd the body and disciple and help and organize. So we need many people to help us with that part. But he's also called all of us, but he's also put specific calls on some to be like a Paul-type person, to leave and that the reached and scatter to the unreached. Is God calling you to full-time missions? Maybe he's speaking into your heart, and he's been prepping you and preparing you for it. And that Francis Chan again said in that book called Crazy Love, he says, Christians are like manure. Spread them out, and they help everything grow better. But keep them in one big pile, and they stink horribly. Honestly, is it not true? We've been in the cycle here at Rockcliffe. I've been in the cycle in other churches. I've been in the cycle in my own life. That when it comes about me, myself, and I start to stink. Everything is hard and difficult. But when I start getting my eyes out to loving on people and loving on God, everything changes. Are you truly passionate about Christ's church? And are you willing to die? You and I might never have to lay our lives down, and that for Christ. But the Bible does tell us to die to ourselves, pick up our cross, to deny ourselves, pick up our cross and follow him. And that not only to ourselves, but to the world, die to the ways of the world, the fleshly ways. And if we need to, sometimes he asks us as a martyr to lay our life down for him in the bigger cause. A high view of God's sovereignty fuels death-defying devotion in global missions. I want to share just quickly about a Romanian pastor named Joseph Tissen. He recounted a time when he was being interrogated by six men. During an early interrogation, he said, I had told an officer who was threatening to kill me. He says, sir, let me explain how I see this issue. See, your supreme weapon is killing me. My supreme weapon is dying. Here's how it works. You know that my sermons on tape have been spread all over the country of Romania. If you kill me, those sermons will be sprinkled with my blood. Everyone will know I died for my preaching. Everyone who has a tape will pick it up and say, I'd better listen to that again, to what that man preached, because he really meant it and he sealed it with his life. So, sir, my sermons will speak 10 times louder than before. I will actually rejoice in this supreme victory if you kill me. After he said this, the interrogator, sent him home. And another officer who was interrogating a pastor friend, another pastor, told that other pastor this, we know that Mr. Tissen would love to be a martyr, but we are not that foolish to fulfill his wish. And that I stopped to consider the meaning of that statement, this pastor, other pastor says. I remember how for many years I had been afraid of dying. I had kept a low profile because I wanted badly to live. I had wasted my life inactively. But now that I had placed my life on the altar and decided I was ready to die for the gospel, they are telling me they won't kill me. I could go wherever I wanted to go in the country, preach whatever I wanted to, knowing I was safe. As long as I tried to save my life, I was losing it. Now that I'm willing to lose it, I truly found it. Francis Chan again says in The Crazy Love, people who are obsessed with Jesus aren't consumed with a personal safety or comfort above all else. Obsessed people care more about God's kingdom coming to earth than their own lives being shielded from pain and distress. We can spend our whole life trying so hard to please people, trying so hard to do everything right, trying so hard to protect ourselves and make sure everyone is safe and everything is okay. But you know and I know, does it ever work? When we try to do those things in our own abilities and strengths, I try to safeguard my house against my kids. And that, you know, with all those little button things and everything so they can't get into poison and all that stuff, only to have my son, as I'm sitting down learning guitar one day, so I make this song up. He's about two and a half. And I'm playing this song about Superman and Batman, and you can jump and fly. And so he decides, he comes running over, he jumps up on the chair, and he takes a dive off, falls and breaks his arm. I'm like, oh my goodness, I safeguarded everything. How on earth? I didn't even realize he would do that. Life happens. Stuff happens. Bad things happen to good people. Good things happen to bad people. It's called life. And the Bible says as we come to Christ, Christ doesn't make it easier in the sense that everything goes the way we want it to go, when we want it, and how we want it. He makes it easier because he says, I will carry you. I will be with you. I will never leave you. I will give you wisdom. I will give you the ability to leap over mountains. And if that mountain you can't jump, I'll give you the authority to speak to it that it has to move. See, that's the God that we serve. And he's calling us to look beyond. He's calling us to step out and to grab a hold of what he has in store. Jesus was obedient to death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God has exalted him to the highest place and given him the name that is above every name, that every name, and at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God our Father, Philippians 2, 8, and 9. I don't know about you, and this is where I finish. I don't want to get to heaven and take a peek over my left and see a whole bunch of people that are begging and pleading and can't get in. I want to bend my knee today to God and say, no longer my will, Lord, but yours. I want to surrender him now, and that not just for his benefits. His benefits are amazing. They outweigh everything in life. I want to bend my knee now. I don't want to wait until I get to heaven and then hoping, knocking, and then saying, let me in, because I wouldn't do it here. Listen to me. Everyone on the face of the earth, whether they are as stubborn can be, everyone will bend their knee. It's either here of their free will and choice that they open their heart to believe and confess and come on board with what Jesus is doing, or one day everyone will bend their knee when they get up and they finish the end of this life. We got to understand that part. God's will is that we will all die once. Olo vole will not protect us. We're all going to die once. But his will is that none of us would die twice. So I pray and encourage you over the next 4 months, grab a hold, come on board, and let's make a huge difference for the Lord right here in Owen Sound, right here in your family, right here in our schools and our community as we love. Amen? As we love and we shine bright for him. Jesus, I want to say thank you, God, for what you're doing. I say thank you, God, that he that began the good work will complete it. I thank you, God, no one is exempt. God, no one is exempt. And that, Lord, but you redeem every one of us. And so, Lord, I pray over this next season as we prep and prepare and train and organize and get ready, and that to be able to handle the harvest, Lord, that you said the harvest is plentiful. We're just trying to echo here at Rockcliffe, the workers will not be few. God, that we're ready, Lord. We're going to be jumping on board. We're going to open our hearts to you, and that so that we can be a part of what you are doing. And so, Lord, I just pray you would quicken inside of our hearts. Start to stir an urgency inside of us that maybe to have that conversation with our loved one. Maybe have that conversation. God, would you prompt us for the right time, for the right words? Lord, I pray, and that, God, that you would give those words, Lord, like Larry had, Lord, to be able to speak to his mom in those final moments, which was a hard thing, Lord. God, Lord, an emotional time, and he loved his mom so much and walking through, but you gave him such wisdom and words that he was able to share with his mom. You prepared her heart, and you linked it beautifully together. God, would you do that again? Over and over and over and over again. Lord, help us not to be impatient, not to go ahead of you or behind you. But Lord, you said the harvest is plentiful, so we are just believing that, Lord. And so, Lord, I bless each and every one. May your face shine upon them. May you overtake them with your blessings and your favor so that they can shine before men. And that everyone would see their good deeds and the favor and the blessing. That it would bring glory to you. We love you, Lord, and we give you thanks for all that you're doing. And I bless each and every one in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Know you're loved. Know you're loved. We love you lots. And I encourage you over these next weeks and over these next times, if you're struggling with, I don't know where to fit, I don't know about this or that, then come and talk to me and let us connect with you as we grow together. God bless you. We love you lots. And we'll see you next week.